What's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown? Out on the edge of the prairie. We've got a few inches of snow here on Monday night and Tuesday, and then it turned warm and it melted. So just a practice snow, just a trainer snow, you might say. Sunday was the first day of Advent, first Sunday of Advent, first week, and there was a rumor around town for several days that she was back, and indeed she was. On Sunday morning, the choir marched in, and they sang the great Bach chorale, "Arise, Jerusalem, arise, midnight strikes, no more delaying, come, ye bridegrooms, come tonight." And there she was, marching behind the choir. Pastor Liz came back to Lake Wobegon. She came marching in. Kind of a mystery where she's been the last few months. She was on some kind of a leave. We didn't hear about it until later. She stood up and she preached a fine sermon in which she said that the creator of the universe had come back to earth in the form of an infant and who was cradled in a feed trough in a stable and was first worshipped by impoverished, uneducated shepherds and by travelers from a distant country who probably didn't even speak the language, by immigrants. And so she sounded as if she actually believed this, and so the rest of us thought we may as well think this over. It was a good sermon, and then afterward people were asking, of course, where she was. She'd been on special assignment for the bishop who had assigned her, because of her tremendous empathy for older people, to go around and collect oral histories from aged Lutherans. And of course, they didn't have much to say because they are Lutheran. And, you know, if there had been scandal and heartbreak and sin and redemption all around them, I mean, they never would have told her about it. They would have said, well, it was interesting back then. Yeah, it was quite the deal back then. So she is back. She is back. For how long, we are not sure. The carillon broke at Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility on Monday, and so it was repeating the phrase, O du Fröhliche, over and over. O du Fröhliche, O du Fröhliche, O du Fröhliche, which becomes unjoyful rather quickly. And so Father Wilmer had to shut it off and call for a repairman who came the same day. And his name was Emil. And it was funny, he looked exactly like Pope Francis, just exactly like him. And he wore a white smock as well. And Father Wilmer asked if he'd like some coffee, and he said, sure. And they sat down, and he was talking about his marital troubles and about how his wife just keeps buying stuff, more and more stuff, and the house is packed with her stuff. But he loves her. He still loves her, which was an odd thing to hear the Pope talk about. But Father Wilmer did not say anything. The Christmas pageant rehearsal will begin soon at the Lutheran Church, and Arlene Bunsen is directing this. Marilyn Tollerud came to a meeting of the committee this last Monday, and she said maybe the Christmas pageant this year should be signed. Her daughter, her older daughter Lois, has a degree in American Sign Language, and she could come and she could sign this performance. Arlene said, but we don't have any deaf people in town. Well, we could find some, but you know, not sure they would want to come. Marilyn said, first of all, we don't call them deaf people. We call them hearing impaired. And secondly, we don't expect people to self-identify as having a disability. There could be people in town who you don't know about? Well, they didn't know how to say no to that. So they voted to have a signer, and then it turned out that Lois was going to be busy that night, so she couldn't come. So nothing was achieved except that Marilyn and Arlene are now not speaking to each other. Arlene thought about it afterward, the possibility that there might be deaf people in Lake Wobegon who are so accustomed to our rituals that without being able to hear, they can catch the cues and they can respond appropriately. Is this possible? She thought. And she thought, of course, of all of the older men in town who have gotten by for years on very small vocabularies. Men who could get by on, oh yeah. And, well, what kind of a deal is that? And, you've got to be kidding me. What about them? Might they be deaf? She wasn't sure. And how would she ask them? But anyway, they've been around. They're old men. They know the Christmas story. They don't need to have somebody waving her hands up in front of them. But it was an interesting idea. The Detweilers have their lights up, and people are talking about that in town. Mr. Detweiler bought them. He bought them for 75% off, and that should have been a warning to him. He's a guy who you could send him to town to get a bag of 10-penny nails, and he would come back with 6 TV trays and a painting of the Last Supper. I mean, he just kind of lack of focus there somewhere. So he brought back this string of lights and he put them up, and of course they didn't know until they turned on the electricity what color they were. They were lavender and a kind of puce and a really bright pink and a shade of yellow. They were Easter lights is what they were, not Christmas lights. Mrs. Detweiler hated them with all her heart. But she just pulled the shades on that side of the house, and so now they're only visible to the passerby. Think what you will. Those are their lights. It's a lovely time. Christmas, you walk around this town, and the angels are up there on the lampposts, and the Christmas lights are strung over the streets, and the tree is standing by the statue of the unknown Norwegian, and red and green and white bulbs on it and red ribbons hanging down from it. You walk around town on Christmas, and no matter how low you may feel and how discouraged you may be about humanity in general and their tremendous arrogance as we sit here spinning around on this itty-bitty little grain of sand in infinity. No matter how discouraged you may be, there's a gentleness and a generosity about the holiday that speaks to you no matter what you believe. In your heart, you walk down the street and you walk by Skoglund's Five and Dime and you walk by the Mercantile and you look in the windows and you see these fabulous gifts, ballpoint pens and diaries and rhinestones and cologne, bottles of cologne. And you recognize this. This is the cologne that your father wore. He didn't wear it often, but when he did, it was noticeable. It was a dramatic cologne. And you go in and you buy it, and you take the cap off, and it's almost rusted shut. It's been sitting there perhaps your entire life. She has it in the window, not out of nostalgia, but because nobody wanted to buy it. And you open it up, and indeed, that is the smell of your father's cologne. And when you take a deep breath of it, you can hear saxophones playing and trumpets and people swaying and people leaning against each other and breathing on each other. This is the cologne that your father may have worn to attract your mother. This cologne may be deeply involved in your own conception. I know you don't want to think about it, but still, there it is. And now you are wearing this cologne. And so you are connected to the beginning of life and to the infant. It's Christmas. There's a connection here somewhere. I can't find it, but I'll leave it to you. Okay. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.